Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, February 8th, 2022. Coming up this hour.
Bonds fall and 10-year Treasury yields approach 2%.
NVIDIA abandons its proposed $40 billion purchase of ARM.
President Biden says the Nord Stream 2 pipeline will be stopped if Russia invades Ukraine.
And governors in the Northeast lay plans to discontinue masks in schools.
Crime continues to surge in New York City. Plus, the top science advisor to President Biden resigns after bullying his staff. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshaw in sports. Another loss for the floundering Knicks. The Devils lost. Olympic women's hockey. Canada beat the U.S.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 991 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. futures and bond yields are rising this morning. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up 5 points, Dow futures up 66, NASDAQ futures little changed. The DAX in Germany is up about 0.5%, and the 10-year Treasury down 6/32nds, yield 1.93%. Nathan.
Karen, let's begin with the bond market this morning. As you mentioned, yields are rising with the 10-year approaching 2%. It has some predicting levels as high as 3% by year's end. Janet Mui at Brewin Dolphin Investment says we may soon see a buying opportunity.
Would you think that there is still loss of appetite for U.S. Treasuries? I think if bond yields were to move to 2.5%, say, I think there will be much more interest. We may get there, but I do think that 3% seems a bit far off.
Brewin Dolphin's Janet Mui says Treasuries are reaching levels that could soon entice institutional investors.
Well, Nathan, in corporate news this morning, SoftBank says it's planning an IPO for ARM. The move comes after NVIDIA abandoned a proposed acquisition of the chip designer. And we get more from Bloomberg's Peter Elstrom in Tokyo.
NVIDIA had run into many regulatory headwinds as it was trying to purchase the chip designer ARM. The UK had pushed back. The US regulators had said that they would oppose the deal also. And many customers had voiced opposition to the deal.
Bloomberg's Peter Elstrom says NVIDIA originally announced the $40 billion acquisition of ARM back in September of 2020. Now ARM's headed for an IPO by March of next year.
Let's turn to earnings now, Karen. Shares of BP are up 1.5% in London. The company reported its highest profit in almost a decade thanks to surging oil and gas prices. We spoke with BP CEO Bernard Looney.
What I will say is that demand is strong, and you can easily see a further tightening market throughout this year. But more than anything, I think we should expect some volatility.
BP CEO Bernard Looney says the company's boosting its share buyback program and also promising to accelerate a transition to cleaner energy.
Up next, Nathan, we get earnings in the U.S. from about 24 companies. That includes a beaten down stock that's seen a recent lift on takeover speculation. Bloomberg's Tom Busby has more on results from Peloton.
The maker of high-end at-home exercise machines reports second quarter results after the closing bell today. Bloomberg estimates that revenue will be $1.14 billion and it'll post an adjusted loss of $1.17 per share. That's despite still having 2.8 million subscribers to its fitness sessions. Now, shares have lost 80% of their value since January of last year after lockdowns ended and sales slumped. But just yesterday, shares shot up 21% on reports it's a takeover target, reportedly getting interest from Apple, Amazon, and Nike. Tom Busby, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And Tom, we have breaking news right now on Peloton. The company's CEO, John Foley, is stepping down to become executive chairman. That's according to the Wall Street Journal.
Turning to geopolitics now, Nathan, it's all about Russia and Ukraine. President Biden is vowing to end the Nord Stream 2 pipeline between Russia and Germany if Moscow invades Ukraine. And Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
President Biden saying that pipeline and invasion don't go together.
The notion that Nord Stream 2 would go forward with an invasion by the Russians is just not going to happen.
Biden says the U.S. and Germany are in perfect unity, and he adds Russia needs the supply channel as badly as Europe does. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thanks. U.S.-China tensions are also in the spotlight today. The White House is calling out Beijing for not meeting its trade promises. Amy Morris has that from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
China has failed to hold up its end of the trade agreement reached during the Trump administration. It did not meet the purchasing targets in the agreement, which it pledged to buy an extra $200 billion in U.S. agriculture, energy, and manufactured products over 2 years. Sources tell Bloomberg the talks are ongoing, but now the Biden administration wants China to take concrete action. White House officials say this illustrates the limits of the Phase One deal inherited from the Trump administration. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Amy, thank you. Now to politics of a different kind involving a high-profile billionaire in social media. Peter Thiel is leaving the board of Facebook apparent Meta in order to pursue Donald Trump's agenda. We get more from Bloomberg's Doug Krisner.
Thiel has advised Meta co-founder Mark Zuckerberg for nearly two decades. Thiel became a director in 2005 after an early investment in Facebook. We are told Thiel now plans to increase political support for former President Trump's agenda during the 2022 election, and he doesn't want his political activities to be a distraction for Facebook. Thiel's focus will be on backing Republican candidates for U.S. Senate aligned with Trump, names like Blake Masters of Arizona and J.D. Vance of Ohio. In New York, I'm Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Doug, thanks. Turning to the pandemic now, some governors are moving to discontinue masks in schools. Let's get the latest on that live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. These governors believe the need for masks is outweighed by widespread vaccination, lower transmission, and the need for unimpeded instruction. Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont says the state will end its mask mandate for schools and daycares at the end of this month. New Jersey will end its mask mandate next month. And Delaware is moving quicker, ending indoor mask requirements on Friday and in schools at the end of the month. But here in New York, Governor Kathy Hochul may make soon moves similar, although she has yet to announce a date to end restrictions. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thanks. Right now, S&P futures are up 5 points, Dow futures up 63, NASDAQ futures higher by 2 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 5/32. The yield, 1.93%. Yield on the 2-year right now, 1.31%. Checking Bitcoin, it is lower on the session, $43,700. Local headlines and a check of sports up next. This is Bloomberg. That brings us to 507 on Wall Street. We got an accident investigation. Route 59 is closed going through Spring Valley. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr is here with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Crime continues to surge in New York City. According to data from the NYPD, the city saw a nearly 60% increase in the past week alone compared to this time last year. Police say the highest jump in cases included car thefts. Since January 1st, the NYPD says that overall crime has gone up over 42%. The top science advisor to President Joe Biden resigned after it was revealed he violated the White House's safe workplace policies. Eric Lander apologized after being accused of bullying his staff. White House spokeswoman Jen Psaki says Lander was given the same rigorous confirmation process as other appointees, and no serious concerns about his behavior had been raised.
Dr. Lander's record was thoroughly examined as a part of his confirmation, and he received bipartisan support, including final confirmation with a voice vote. But again, once we were made aware of the complaint, we launched a thorough investigation.
Spokeswoman Jen Psaki. Former President Trump may face charges for breaking the Presidential Records Act. According to the National Archives, Trump brought records with him to his Mar-a-Lago resort that he should have turned over, as well as ripping up documents aides had to tape back together. The head of the January 6th committee, Chairman Benny Thompson, was asked if there are any documents his committee knows are missing.
This is too early, and we're getting quite a bit of information from archives, so it's a work in progress.
Chairman Thompson says any evidence of criminal activity will be sent to the Justice Department. The Supreme Court has put on hold a lower court ruling that Alabama must draw new congressional districts before the 2022 elections. It boosts Republican chances to hold 6 of the state's 7 seats in the House of Representatives. Only one district now will likely elect a black representative. The state, which has 7 congressional districts, is 27% black. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau ripped truckers' protests over COVID rules. The demonstrations have paralyzed Ottawa and have now halted commercial traffic to the U.S. at the busiest border crossing between the two countries. The Ambassador Bridge that connects Windsor, Ontario with Detroit is a crucial artery for auto parts suppliers and manufacturers. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. Almost 5:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stanshauer.
All right. Good morning, Nathan. Knicks' third straight loss. They've had three-game losing streaks just in the last month. Good start at Utah. Knicks led by 12. They never seem able to put together four good quarters. Only 13 points in the third quarter. That overtime loss Saturday to the Lakers, and only 18 in the fourth quarter last night. The Jazz won 113-104 as Donovan Mitchell scored 32 points. Julius Randle had 30 for the Knicks, who play again tonight in Denver. Slumping Nets, home for the Celtics. Brooklyn's lost eight in a row. Devils back from the All-Star break, lost in Ottawa 4-1. College hoops for the ACC. The last time Virginia would visit Duke with Mike Krzyzewski, the Blue Devils coach. Cavaliers trailed by two.
With five, with four. Clark finds Beekman, fires the three.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
He hit the shot!
Got it!
He hit the shot!
He got it!
With 0.7 seconds to go!
Oh, my goodness!
The silence is deafening.
Cameron Indoor, Virginia Radio, had the call. U.S. still without a gold medal at the Olympics, although Nathan Chen certainly seems headed for one in men's figure skating, his short program the best ever. Women's hockey, Canada beat the U.S. 4-2. They're likely to meet again next week for the gold medal. A U.S. resident won a gold medal, but 18-year-old Eileen Gu, who has lived her entire life in San Francisco, chose to compete for China, where her mother is from. She won the freestyle skiing big air. Every NFL team now has their head coach for next season. Houston and New Orleans promoted their current defensive coordinators. Lovie Smith takes over the Texans. Dennis Allen, the Saints. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. Equity futures, little change this morning. S&P futures are up about 6 points right now. Dow futures up 76. NASDAQ futures higher by just 4 points. Big moves in the Treasury market. The 10-year is down 6/32. The yield 1.93%. Esti Dweck of FlowBank joins us next. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, gradual clearing today with highs in the low 40s. Mostly sunny, milder. We'll get up to near 50 tomorrow and Thursday. Right now, clouds, 36 degrees in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks in Europe are gaining this morning as commodity producers receive a boost from rising metal prices and solid earnings. Treasury yields ticking higher, the dollar strengthening, and S&P futures have been giving up their gains. Now, little changed. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Again, S&P futures, little change. Dow futures up 40, and NASDAQ futures lower, down 15. The DAX in Germany is up about 0.2%. 10-year Treasury down 6/32. Yield 1.93%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.32%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1% or 95 cents at $90.37 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.1% or $2 at $18.19.80 an ounce. The euro 1.1409 against the dollar. British pound 1.3547. The yen 115.33. And Bitcoin this morning moving lower at $43,680. And we're watching shares of Peloton down 4.3% this morning. This ahead of its earnings and on news that CEO John Foley will step down, with Dow Jones reporting that Barry McCarthy will become CEO and president and join Peloton's board. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Diplomatic efforts to defuse the tensions around Ukraine continue today, with French President Emmanuel Macron expected in Kiev. Yesterday, Macron met with the Russian President Vladimir Putin in Moscow. President Biden's top science advisor, Dr. Eric Lander, has resigned. It comes hours after the White House confirmed an internal investigation found credible evidence that he mistreated his staff. At the Beijing Winter Olympics, China and Sweden are tied for the gold medal count at 3. Russia has the most medals overall at 8. The U.S. has increased its medal count to 4, all silvers. In the NBA, the Knicks and Wizards lost, the Warriors won. In the NHL, the Devils lost. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. It's 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and Esti Dweck is with us now, Chief Investment Officer at FlowBank, as we watch this sell-off in the bond space this morning. Esti, we've got 10-year Treasury yields close to 1.95% and potentially moving higher. What do you think is driving this sell-off in fixed income right now?
Good morning. I think it's, you know, it's really the market just catching up to a generally more hawkish tone by all the central banks. So the fact that even the ECB might look at tightening later this year, I'm not convinced they'll manage it, but they're thinking about it. You're seeing inflation a little bit higher, even in places like Japan. You're starting to see that reaction in market in bond markets again.
It's interesting to see this happening, though. We had a couple of notes, I think, from J.P. Morgan just yesterday saying that a lot of the risk of tightness from the Fed has been pretty much baked into this market. Do you see it that way, or do we have further to go here?
No, I think we've priced in so many rate hikes already. So it's interesting to see the move now. It's maybe because we had, you know, a bit of an easing in the pressure with the market sell-off, and now there's a little more room to run. We see bond yields, you know, overreact or overshoot quite frequently. So it's not a surprise that you have this momentum now, that you're seeing more short positions. But I do think it would be difficult to price in more hikes than what the market is pricing in today.
How many hikes are you pricing in at this point? What about the balance sheet?
I'm thinking more probably four hikes max. It just feels like they can get a few in the first half, but the second half of the year, you're going to see inflation start to ease, supply chain disruptions getting better, growth slowing towards trend. So it's going to be tougher to keep getting so many rate hikes in the second half of the year. And the balance sheet runoff, I think, will be soft. They want to show they're serious about inflation, but if they become too aggressive, you're really going to have concerns about a yield curve inverting and growth prospects for next year. And I think they're going to have to avoid that. So, again, the first half of the year, easier for them to announce tightening, balance sheet runoff not before the summer, but they'll probably have to be a little more cautious in their moves later in the year.
I wonder if you think the CPI print we're going to get on Thursday is going to be a further catalyst for the bond market, or do you think traders are sort of reacting ahead of whatever we see when it comes to the latest inflation print this week?
I think there's a little bit of reacting before the print because you had such strong non-farm payrolls. That was a surprise. So maybe the markets are thinking, okay, well, inflation might not come down, or it might not be the, oh, it's in line, it's not worse than expected. But it feels like they're preparing themselves for a worse print. You know, with Omicron and especially sort of extending these supply chain disruptions, it's not a surprise for inflation to stay higher into the beginning of the year. What you need to see is for it to start abating March, April, May, June, and hopefully that will come through.
As we see these yields climbing this morning, what's the impact on the stock market?
Well, it's been mixed so far, right? It's mostly green, a little bit for Europe. I think that the size of the move or the scale of the move and how quickly it happens is more important than the absolute number. I think at some point we're probably going to hit that 2% mark on U.S. 10 years this year, but we probably hit it, maybe overshoot, and then at some point retreat again with this second half picture just being a little less uncertain and a less aggressive from the Fed. But markets will remain more volatile. We also saw added volatility from the big tech earnings that have such an outsized impact on indices. But if you look through the volatility of the next couple of weeks and months, I think we're still going to see some upside.
All right. As always, thanks for your insights. Really appreciate it this morning. Esti Dweck with us, Chief Investment Officer at FlowBank, as we continue to watch the sell-off in the bond space. Right now, the 10-year's down 5/32, the yield at 1.93%, yield on the 2-year 1.31%. and the 30-year yield right now is at 2.22%. As for equities, mixed action as far as futures go. S&P futures are a little changed right now. Dow futures are up by 27 points. NASDAQ futures lower. They're down 15 points. Some gains in European stocks right now. The DAX in Germany is up about 0.2%. The CAC in Paris higher by about 0.5%. NYMEX crude down 2.1% right now, $89.41 for a barrel of West Texas Intermediate. We'll have more on the bond sell-off and President Biden's warning about Nord Stream 2. To check your top stories of the morning next on Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 1130 weather, gradual clearing today, highs in the low 40s. Will be milder tomorrow and Thursday with highs near 50 both days. Right now, 36 and cloudy in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We begin with the bond market, where yields are rising this morning. The 10-year Treasury yield briefly rose above 1.95%, a level last seen in December of 2019. Patrick Armstrong is Chief Investment Officer at Pluriemi Wealth.
I think bond yields are going to continue to rise. I think we're going to get to the point where 10-year yields equal 10-year inflation expectations. That's the point where it's a break-even for an investor to put their money in something risk-free from default and preserve their purchasing power.
Patrick Armstrong at Pluriemi Wealth expects 10-year yields to rise another 60 basis points. And checking treasuries now, the yield on the 10-year at 1.92%, the 2-year yield 1.31%.
In corporate news this morning, Karen, NVIDIA is abandoning its proposed $40 billion purchase of ARM. The company's bowing to regulatory pressure and ending what would have been the largest deal ever in the chip industry. Instead, SoftBank is planning an IPO of ARM.
Well, on the earnings front, Nathan, shares of BP are up more than 1% in London. The company reported its highest profit in almost a decade thanks to surging oil and gas prices. It also announced a share buyback.
Turning to geopolitics now, it's all about Russia and Ukraine still. President Biden says Russia's Nord Stream 2 pipeline will be halted if President Vladimir Putin invades Ukraine. Moscow has repeatedly denied plans for an invasion. Massachusetts Democratic Congressman Jake Auchincloss hopes sanctions will be effective.
The purpose of sanctions is to be a deterrent effect so that when President Putin is weighing the benefits and risks to him of invading Ukraine, he has to put the sanctions on the debit side of the calculation. He has to say that these are risks inherent in that operation.
Democratic Congressman Jake Auchincloss spoke with our Washington correspondent Joe Matthew on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the program weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio.
We now turn to the pandemic, Nathan, and long-running mask mandates. Some governors are now taking steps to discontinue masks in schools. On Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with the latest. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont says the state will end its mask mandate for schools and daycares at the end of this month. New Jersey will end mask mandates next month, and Delaware's ending indoor mask requirements on Friday and in schools at the end of the month. And here in New York, Governor Kathy Hochul may soon make similar moves, although she has yet to announce a date to end restrictions. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Renita, thank you. S&P futures up about 5 points this morning. And straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It's 5:33 on Wall Street, 36 degrees in Central Park. They've cleared the accident investigation, Route 59 at Main Street in Spring Valley. We'll have details on what else is going on in traffic shortly. First, Michael Barr with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Crime is rising in New York City. According to data from the NYPD, the city saw a nearly 60% increase in the past week alone compared to this time last year. Police say the highest jump in cases included car thefts. For the week ending Sunday, there were more than 250 reported incidents, up from 120 thefts during the same time in 2021. Since January 1st, the NYPD says overall crime has gone up over 42%. President Biden's top science advisor, Dr. Eric Lander, has resigned after the White House confirmed that an internal investigation found credible evidence that he mistreated his staff. It marks the first cabinet-level departure of the Biden administration, White House spokeswoman Jen Psaki.
The president has been crystal clear with all of us about his high expectations of how he and his staff should be creating a respectful work environment.
Spokeswoman Psaki says Biden accepted Lander's resignation with gratitude for his work on the pandemic, the cancer moonshot, climate change, and other key priorities. Could former President Trump's handling of White House documents land him in legal jeopardy? The National Archives says it recovered boxes of presidential records from Trump's Mar-a-Lago, Florida home. The development follows reports on Trump's habit of tearing up official documents, forcing aides to tape them back together. Officials warn both actions could violate the Presidential Records Act. Democratic Congressman Benny Thompson heads the January 6th committee.
Anything that we found to be criminal, we would not hesitate to make a referral.
Chairman Thompson says it's too early to determine whether any documents are missing. The U.S. Supreme Court restored Alabama's congressional map, dealing a blow to a second heavily black district. The 5-4 order ensures that Alabama voters will use the original Republican-drawn map in the November election. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 5:35 on Wall Street, time for a Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashow.
Thanks, Nathan. Game two of this five-game road trip, and like the one Saturday at the Lakers, good start for the Knicks. They jumped in front by 12, but like in L.A., they could not keep it going. Outscored in the fourth quarter 31-18. The Jazz won 113-104 as Donovan Mitchell scored 32 points. Julius Randle had 30 for the Knicks, but R.J. Barrett shot just 8 for 25, and the Knicks have their third three-game losing streak of the last month. The trip continues tonight in Denver while the Nets are back home from their five-game road trip where they lost all five. They'll try to end an eight-game losing streak, and the Celtics come in having won their last five. Devils lost in Ottawa 4-1. Virginia hit a three-pointer with less than a second to go for a one-point upset win at Duke. A near-flawless performance by Nathan Chen in the Olympic figure skating short program. He's now an overwhelming favorite to win the gold medal. The U.S. still seeking its first, even though Eileen Gu, who won gold in freestyle skiing, has lived her entire life in San Francisco. She chose to compete for China, where her mother is from. Women's hockey, Canada, beat the U.S. 4-2. They're expected to play again next week for the gold medal. Dennis Allen named the new coach of the Saints. Lovie Smith, the Texans, both have previous NFL head coaching experience. Tom Brady on his podcast, first interview since announcing his retirement.
Certainly not that I can't do that. And it's certainly not that I can't play or continue to play, but I think there's an important choice for me to make, you know, and I think the choice is, you know, everything certainly comes at a cost, and the cost is what am I missing out on other aspects of my life.
Asked about someday coming out of retirement, Brady said, you never say never. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report. Here's Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
The fortunes of Manhattan's office market are coming down to old versus new. New skyscrapers are luring companies seeking new space and preparing for the hybrid work era. Left behind, though, are countless older buildings that haven't been modernized in the past decade, presenting a costly problem for landlords. A joint venture partnership of Zeckendorf Development and Atlas Capital Group have just signed a contract to buy 570 Washington Street, an empty lot between Houston and Clarkson Streets. The Post reports they plan to erect a roughly 36-story super luxury condo tower. Burlington Stores is accused of misclassifying assistant store managers as exempt from the Fair Labor Standards Act to avoid paying them overtime wages, according to a new lawsuit recently filed in federal court in New Jersey. The proposed collective action was brought by a former employee. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thanks, Ed. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm
it's Steve Potusk, and on KNX in Los Angeles, we're talking about the global chip shortage and how it has Tesla cutting a steering component from some cars.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston, surging oil prices lifting BP's profit to the highest in almost a decade.
I'm Caroline Hepcom, Bloomberg DAB, digital radio in London. We're reporting on Britain's curbing their spending in January. Barclaycard and the retail consortium say food and fuel sales have been hit.
I'm Ed Corey on WTAM in Cleveland. I'm reporting Case Western Reserve University is launching a leadership institute.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
By all appearances, the situation over Ukraine remains dangerous. Although Russia continues to deny any plans to attack, President Vladimir Putin has massed troops and weapons on Ukraine's borders. The U.S. has responded by sending troops to bolster NATO's eastern flank. Still, despite the tensions, there are glimmers of a way out. Confronted with a surprisingly strong and united Western response to his moves, Putin has signaled some willingness to entertain talks on Russia's security concerns in Europe as a possible path to defusing the crisis. While not bowing to Putin's more extreme demands, President Joe Biden and European leaders should seize the opportunity to find common ground, particularly on matters such as military transparency and arms control. There's no guarantee Putin will respond positively to these overtures, but arms control diplomacy has worked before. It could help calm the world again. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
Bloomberg Opinion editorials. You can hear them every weekday at this time. Terminal customers, you can read more at OPI and go. S&P futures up 4 points. The 10-year down 4/32. Yield 1.93% on the benchmark 10-year note. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, gradual clearing, low 40s today, upper 40s to around 50, mostly sunny tomorrow. We get up to near 50 on Thursday as well. Right now, cloudy, 36 degrees in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks in Europe are gaining as commodity producers receive a boost from rising metal prices and solid earnings. Treasury yields ticking higher, the dollar strengthening, and S&P futures are higher. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 5 points this morning. Dow futures up 56. NASDAQ futures up 16. The DAX in Germany is up 0.3%. 10-year Treasury down 0.3%. Yield 1.92%. The yield on the 2-year 1.31%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.8% on $1.68 at $89.62 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.1% on $1.60 at $18.20 an ounce. The euro 1.1419 against the dollar. British pound 1.3552. The yen's at 115.26. And Bitcoin this morning at $43,850. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. President Joe Biden said the controversial Nord Stream 2 natural gas pipeline between Russia and Germany would be stopped if President Putin orders an invasion of Ukraine. Meanwhile, French President Macron visits Kiev today, a day after a meeting with Putin in Moscow. COVID cases are falling across the nation, and now some states, including New Jersey and Connecticut, are announcing masks will no longer be required in schools. At the Beijing Winter Olympics, Russia has the most medals overall at 8. The U.S. has increased its medal count to 4, all silvers. In the NBA, the Knicks and Wizards lost. The Warriors won. In the NHL, the Devils lost. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. We're coming up to 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. I want to pick up on one of those stories you just mentioned there. Mask mandates starting to get get lifted in several states now that the Omicron wave does appear to be passing throughout the country at this point, really. Sam Fazeli joins us now, senior pharmaceutical analyst at Bloomberg Intelligence. It's good to have you with us, Sam, because it's not just New Jersey. We've also heard from Connecticut, Delaware, even California making moves to ease restrictions either this month or next. Is this the right time for states to be thinking about easing up on public health restrictions?
Oh, hi, Nathan. So if we just focused specifically on the school issue, I think it's a very fine line between trying to get as many of these younger children vaccinated, and that's not a very high number at the moment, and trying to maintain a level of reduced transmission of virus amongst the children, especially the children, rather than the teachers, etc., so that with what we're seeing with Omicron, which is a higher rate of hospitalizations for children, is not something that we're going to see a rebound in. But at the same time, Nathan, as you've seen some other commentators say, it's very difficult for children anyway to maintain a mask, a good mask culture, if you like, and also at the same time continue doing this for, well, what's probably something in the region of on and off about 2 years. And that's the fine balance that's really, really tough to deal with.
So how do you strike that balance? Does it go more toward changing the way air flows in schools? Is that the focus that schools should be thinking about now, as opposed to making sure that kids of all ages are wearing their masks properly just because of the difficulties that you mentioned?
Yeah, I mean, you could try all of those things, but the reality is that kids and the way that they interact with each other isn't really going to be massively impacted by how airflow goes through a classroom, which of course will help. But the issue is more, you know, you've seen them when they run around the yard, etc., yeah, as they're playing. And, you know, I've even heard stories where a child comes home with someone else's mask saying, "We swapped." So it's very tough to control this kind of thing. And I think the best way is to try and give them at least one dose of a vaccine to reduce their risk of getting hospitalized, which is what we're seeing more with Omicron, possibly because it's much more infectious and therefore you're seeing much higher rates of transmission. But I really, as a parent, I really think that if we can get these kids vaccinated, that's our best solution to reducing the need for masks.
That's a tough hill to climb, though, isn't it? I mean, as you mentioned, the rate of vaccinations among the groups of children that they're eligible for is really low, much lower, I think, than a lot of people expected at this point. What's the challenge going forward, particularly when you think about the fact that very young kids still haven't been authorized to be vaccinated yet, and whether that's going to factor in even further in terms of how much longer it's going to take for higher levels of vaccination to take place?
Yeah, Nathan, I think the challenge is going to be, or the issue that we're going to have to deal with is suppose in some states they do remove the mask mandate, and we continue to see high transmission amongst children, which is what we're seeing currently in the UK, for example, and that then leads to a rise in hospitalizations. I don't think anyone's going to then argue with probably either putting the mask mandate back on if it's ever been effective, but certainly use that information and that knowledge to convince parents for getting their kids vaccinated. I think that's, unfortunately, we may have to see some negative developments for people to get more and more convinced to do this, because, you know, that's the only way I think you're going to get some people convinced.
Thanks for this, Sam. Always good to get your thoughts. Sam Fazeli, senior pharmaceutical analyst at Bloomberg Intelligence, with us this morning. Karen.
Nathan, it is 5:53 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
The House passed a Me Too-inspired bill that would block enforcement of arbitration requirements for workers alleging sexual harassment or assault. Legislation passed by California lawmakers and sent to the governor would require employers to provide as much as 80 hours of paid COVID-19 leave. A federal court in Illinois ruled that Family Dollar stores must face claims in a proposed class action alleging that its smoked almonds have smoke flavoring and are not actually smoked over an open fire.
Bloomberg
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
All right, thanks, Jeff. Now another legal story we're watching brings us to the NFL. Former Miami Dolphins head coach Brian Flores is accusing the league of pervasive racial bias, claiming discrimination denied him the top job at the New York Giants. Flores filed a proposed class action against the NFL, naming the Giants, Dolphins, and Denver Broncos as co-defendants. For more on the case, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to Sid Rao, a partner at Romano Law.
This is not your typical I was fired due to racial discrimination lawsuit. Tell us how it goes way beyond that.
This complaint, as I read it, is clearly intended for a larger audience than just the court or even, frankly, the opposing counsel who may be considering their responses anywhere from litigation to settlement. So several features about the complaint are striking. I mean, number one, it's filed on the first day of Black History Month. It begins with quotes from Martin Luther King. The very first paragraph has a recitation of civil rights figures going back to the 19th century, the 1800s. It creates a sort of public lens and a public scrutiny of the NFL that I think is very strategic here. And the rhetoric of the complaint is clearly pitched at a sort of public discussion of race.
What is he alleging in his lawsuit? What are the allegations he's making?
Fundamentally, he's alleging a pervasive discrimination on the basis of race as to employment opportunities in the NFL. If we look at the numbers, he's pointing out that 70% of the players are Black, but currently of the 32 league teams, only one head coach is African-American or Black, and that there is a pervasive discriminatory environment that prevents Black candidates from being hired for head coaching positions, general manager positions, and the like. Ultimately, what the complaint's purpose, as I read it, is to support that allegation by really digging into the culture of the NFL and trying to present a narrative that supports this conclusion that there really is a discrimination on the basis of race that is creating an artificial ceiling for potential Black candidates for coaching positions.
So is the league likely to file a motion to dismiss?
I suspect the league is going to be thinking more about class certification, frankly, than a motion to dismiss, although who's to say they may move to dismiss. But I suspect they're going to be attacking the idea that you could certify a class here. And they might try to produce evidence or create a narrative that even if you could somehow identify a class, that the individual's claims would be so different and rest on such a different pattern of facts that it would be inefficient to adjudicate under Rule 23 class action. And that probably takes some of the wind out of the sails of this case. I certainly think that Flores has made a point, you know, in terms of the media spotlight that he's put on his case and what he's alleging is a more pervasive pattern of discrimination here. That will need to be dealt with some fashion by the NFL, simply, frankly, to contain reputational damage.
And that's Sid Rao, a partner at Romano Law, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by listening to the Bloomberg Law Show at 10 p.m. Eastern Time or subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. S&P futures are higher up 5 points, Dow futures up 54, NASDAQ futures up about 12, and the 10-year Treasury down 3/32, the yield 1.92%, the yield on the two-year 1.31%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.8% at $89.69 a barrel. And still ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, we have a check on the business headlines and all the news you need to start your day. This is Bloomberg.